the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins unto God our Father, beseeching Him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord,
who made heaven and earth.
I said I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord.
And you forgave the iniquity of my sin.
Almighty God, merciful Father,
I, a poor, miserable sinner, confess unto you all my sins and iniquities, with which I have ever offended you, and justly deserved your temporal and eternal punishment. But I am heartily sorry for them, and sincerely repent of them. And I pray you of your boundless mercy, and for the sake of the holy, innocent, bitter suffering and death of your beloved Son, Jesus Christ, to be gracious and merciful to me, a poor sinful being.
Upon this your confession, I, by virtue of my office as a called and ordained servant of the Word, announce the grace of God unto all of you, and in the stead, by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all your sins, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Chant the Introit, the 10th Sunday after Pentecost, on the insert.
I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth.
I sought the Lord and He answered me.
To God on high. Be ready in body and soul. May cheerfully accomplish what you want done. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
You may be seated.
The Old Testament reading for the 10th Sunday after Pentecost is from Job, chapter 38. The Lord said to Job, "Where were you when I laid the foundation of the earth? Tell me if you have understanding. Who determined its measurements? Surely you know. Or who stretched the line upon it? On what were its bases sunk? Or who laid its cornerstone when the morning stars sang together and all the sons of God shouted for joy? Or who shut in the sea with doors when it burst out from the womb? When I made the clouds its garment, in thick darkness its swaddling band, and prescribed limits for it, and set bars and doors, and said, thus far shall you come, and no farther, and here shall your proud waves be stayed. Have you commanded the morning since your days began, and caused the dawn to know its place, that it might take hold of the skirts of the earth, and the wicked be shaken out of it? It is changed like clay under the seal, and its features stand out like a garment. From the wicked their light is withheld, and their uplifted arm is broken. Have you entered into the springs of the sea, or walked in the recesses of the deep? Have the gates of death been revealed to you? Or have you seen the gates of deep darkness? Have you comprehended the expanse of the earth? Declare if you know all this." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
We continue with Psalm 18, verses 1 through 6, chanted responsively, whole verse by whole verse.
In your mouth and in your heart.
That is the word of faith that we proclaim. Because if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes and is justified, and with the mouth one confesses and is saved. For the scripture says, everyone who believes in him will not be put to shame. For there is no distinction between Jew and Greek. The same Lord is Lord of all, bestowing his riches on all who call on him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. But how are they to call on him in whom they have not believed? And how are they to believe in him of whom they have never heard? And how are they to hear without someone preaching? And how are they to preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the good news. But they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah says, Lord, who has believed what he has heard from us? So faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the word of Christ. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
We rise and sing the Alleluia in verse.
Immediately Jesus said, take heart, it is I, do not be afraid. Alleluia, alleluia, alleluia.
The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 14th chapter. Jesus made the disciples get into the boat, go before him to the other side, while he dismissed the crowds. After he had dismissed the crowds, he went up on the mountain by himself to pray. When evening came, he was there alone. But the boat by this time was a long way from the land, beaten by the waves, for the wind was against them. And in the fourth watch of the night, he came to them, walking on the sea. But when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were terrified and said, it is a ghost, and they cried out in fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them, saying, take heart, it is I, do not be afraid. Peter answered him, Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water. He said, come. So Peter got out of the boat and walked on the water and came to Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid. And beginning to sink, he cried out, Lord, save me. Jesus immediately reached out his hand and took hold of him, saying to him, O you of little faith, why did you doubt? And when they got into the boat, the wind ceased. Those in the boat worshipped him, saying, truly, you are the Son of God. This is the Gospel of the Lord.
We continue on page 191 with the Nicene Creed.
I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven, and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary, and was made man, and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried, and the third day he rose again, according to the Scriptures, and ascended into heaven, and sits at the right hand of the Father, and he will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Christian apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and the resurrection of the dead, and the life of the world to come. Amen.
We continue with hymn 717. You may be seated. Unto you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Silence can be deafening. While it is true that silence can be peaceful, it is also terrifying because it often comes with uncertainty, like when we are waiting for test results or when we have just had an argument with a loved one and received the cold shoulder. Ironically, silence is often anything but quiet, because it is often when we find ourselves examining our lives and coming face to face with our fears and sins. The anxiety that is caused by viruses, riots, civil unrest, uncertainty in academia and the churches, increased unemployment, and so on, begins to consume us. It feels very much like the winds of life are contrary to us, like we are adrift at sea or stranded by the side of the road, waiting for someone to hear our cry for help. Perhaps it is tempting to listen to the accusations and murmurs of the non-believers when they say, "Where is your God? He seems awfully quiet if he is real, doesn't he?" But in today's text, our Lord answers us in the middle of the storms of life and speaks to us reminding us that Jesus is not silent. We will see the reality of silence, prayer, and Jesus' words demonstrated in this text in three main ways. First, God's silence is terrifying. Second, the disciples failed to recognize Jesus. And third, Jesus reveals himself through his word. First, God's silence is terrifying. Our text begins shortly after Jesus had just performed a miracle, where he turned 5 loaves and 2 fish into more than enough food to feed 5,000 people. In fact, last week's text went on to say that there were 12 baskets full of broken pieces left over. The disciples collected these baskets, and yet they still did not understand who Jesus was. They may have been thinking that he was like Moses, who gave the people of Israel manna in the wilderness. Or maybe they thought of the prophet Elijah, where God had turned the scraps of the widow of Zarephath into more than enough food to last for over a year after Elijah prayed for this miracle. But without Jesus' words, the disciples still did not understand who he was. And so our text continues by telling us that Jesus sent the disciples out to the sea, while he stayed behind to dismiss the crowds. And then Jesus went up into the mountain to pray. Eventually, the text tells us the disciples were out at sea far away from the land, and they hit a big storm. We are told that their ship was being beaten by the waves, for the wind was against them. They must have been at sea battling the storm for a while, because they are still there during the fourth watch of the night, between 3 and 6 a.m. It's at this point, while the disciples are tired, struggling, and wet, that Jesus comes to them walking on the water. Could you imagine how terrifying that would be? It would be hard enough to believe if you saw your friend walking on the water. But imagine if this happened in the early hours of the morning, with the waves beating against your boats and the wind blowing against you, and you see him just taking a stroll on the sea. Well, quite naturally, the disciples cry out in terror. At this point, silent water-walking Jesus is terrifying. A silent God is a terrifying God. Ultimately, God's silence is our condemnation. Think of the words of King David in Psalm 28. To you I call, O Lord, my rock. Do not turn a deaf ear to me. For if you remain silent, I will be like those who go down to the pit. If God is silent, then we are caught in the terror of feeling alone and knowing that judgment is coming. Even righteous Job experienced this reality in chapter 9. He cried out, "How then can I answer him, choosing my words with him? Though I am in the right, I cannot answer him. I must appeal for mercy to my accuser." Job understood that he could not stand before God's silence and live. It is in the silence that we are made aware of our sins, fears, and insufficiencies. And God's silence also means that he has not yet declared us innocent. Second, the disciples failed to recognize Jesus. At this point, the disciples are terrified because they still do not recognize Jesus as the Son of God. At this moment, they see a goat walking on the water. Perhaps they are terrified of judgment and do not know what to do. But Jesus reveals himself to them. Immediately, in this moment, he hears their cry of desperation and says to them, "Take heart, it is I. Do not be afraid." He spoke the words of peace that his disciples needed to hear. Jesus was not silent to their cry of desperation. Jesus revealed himself to them as their Lord and God, using the divine title, "I am." But Peter still has doubts. He says, "Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water. This call is often seen as a confession of faith, but it really isn't. If he had taken Jesus at his word, he would have done the smart thing and stayed in the boat. He would have believed it when Jesus revealed himself. But still, Jesus answers Peter's request and calls Peter to him to meet Jesus on the water. And those very words of Christ were effective to make Peter's miraculous walk possible. So why did Peter sink? He felt the wind and waves and looked at its destructive power. He took his eyes off Jesus, the one who was revealing himself as the Lord of those very winds and waves, by walking on the sea. But when Peter began to sink, he cried out, "Lord, save me." And again, the disciples' cry was answered, and Jesus saved him with his own fleshy hands and brought him safely to the boat. Once Jesus got into the boat, the wind and waves ceased, and the disciples worshipped him, saying, "Truly, you are the Son of God." Peter wasn't saved by a ghost. He was saved by the incarnate God, because Jesus doesn't just save us by saying, "Your sins are forgiven." Those words have power, because God's word does not return void. Jesus answered our own cry for salvation by coming to earth as God's word. He died and rose again so that the word of peace would be tied to actions, to a stretching out his hands on the cross, to pluck us from our watery grave. Jesus fulfilled the words of peace given throughout the Old Testament in the flesh by atoning for our sins on the cross and rising in the flesh. The meaning of Jesus being the atoning sacrifice for our sins, through whom we are justified, is explained in the epistle lesson this morning from Romans chapter 10. If you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes and is justified, and with the mouth one confesses and is saved. For the scripture says, "Everyone who believes in him will not be put to shame." For there is no distinction between Jew and Greek. The same Lord is Lord of all, bestowing his riches on all who call on him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. So faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the word of Christ. Third, Jesus reveals himself in his word. When Jesus snatched Peter out of the water, the winds and waves didn't stop. He held Peter in his embrace, even as the winds continued to beat against the boat. The problem for Peter and the disciples was not the storm. The problem was their failure to recognize Jesus. Jesus' identity is not only revealed in the miracles. Jesus is also comprehended in his word and sacraments. Peter's salvation from the water mirrors our own salvation which occurred in holy baptism. We were estranged from God and overwhelmed by the winds and waves of life. Sin, death, and the devil assailed us, and we cried like the psalmist in Peter, "Lord, save me." The cords of death encompassed us, and the torrents of destruction assailed us. We are entangled in the cords of hell and confronted by the snares of death. As we sang in our psalm today, we, like Peter, were drowning and needed to be saved. And Jesus heard our cry of desperation. He heard us when we cried out, "Lord, save me." And he pulled us out of the waters and brought us into the boat of his church through holy baptism, where all our sin was washed away. As we confess in the small catechism, this baptism works forgiveness of sins, rescues from death and the devil, and gives eternal salvation to all who believe this, as the words and promises of God declare. And that is the key to understanding how Jesus speaks to us and reveals himself to us. His word is effective and accomplishes exactly what it says. His baptism does these things because, as Martin Luther says in the Small Catechism, it is not just plain water, but it is water included in God's command and combined with God's word. Did you hear that? Jesus' word is combined with a physical means because Jesus continues to save us by his effective word, and that word is combined with a physical reality. Jesus saves both body and soul. Jesus didn't just say, "Peter, get out of the water," but he pulled him out of the water. Jesus is not silent. He continues to reveal himself through word and sacrament. And that is why it is such a wonderful gift that we have so many opportunities to proclaim the gospel to our neighbors through their early childhood center, the campus ministry, the LWML, the church itself, and all the other offices that we have for evangelism. As our epistle lesson states, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the good news. When we invite people to church, they hear the gospel and are introduced to the church's liturgy, which is filled with the story of our salvation. That is because the liturgy is filled with Jesus' words to his people, to you, to comfort us in our trials and to declare that we are not alone. When we hear the gospel read, these aren't just stories. These are events that actually happen, that testify to a God who saves his people. The gospel testifies to a Jesus who is not silent. And so, when the pastor proclaims, "By the commands and in the stead of my Lord Jesus Christ," those words are Jesus speaking directly to you. Jesus is speaking his words of peace to you and revealing himself as the God who can and does forgive your sins. It is as if he were coming to you in that moment and saying, "I know your sins. I know the struggles that you have endured this week, but see, I am with you. See, I have already forgiven you. Take heart, it is I. Do not be afraid. You are not alone." In the Lord's Supper, he speaks to us saying, "Take, eat, this is my body. Take, drink, this is my blood, which is given and shed for you for the forgiveness of sins." And as the Catechism confesses, these words of promise show us that in the sacrament, forgiveness of sins, life, and salvation are given through these words. Because the flesh of Christ on that altar is the very word of God, which pulls us out of the depths of sin and sets us in his kingdom, the storms of life might not stop anytime soon. Illness will always exist. There will always be unemployment and conflict, worry and uncertainty. But Jesus is not silent. He continues to come to us in the middle of the storms and holds us safely in his grace. In today's text, our uncertainty is answered by Jesus' words, "Take heart, it is I. Do not be afraid." And these are his words of hope to us that we find in the scriptures and in the sacraments. Our Lord is always speaking to us here in the church and through our fellow Christians when they encourage us. Though God's silence is terrifying, and the disciples failed at first to recognize Jesus, we have the assurance now and always that Jesus has revealed and continues to reveal himself to us through his word. So be assured, Jesus is not silent. Let us praise Jesus, the one who speaks to us. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which transcends all human understanding, guard your hearts and minds in faith in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen.
Let us now sing the offertory, page 192. We stand to sing.
Thank you.
as the organist plays the voluntary, please sign ritual friendship pads to place them, the sheet in the basket in the narthex as you leave, and leave your offerings at the offering plates at the door. We prepare the elements for Holy Communion during the voluntary. You may be seated. Prayer of the Church, we stand to pray. Let us pray for the whole people of God in Christ Jesus, for all people according to their needs. Almighty God, you gave your only begotten Son to take our nature upon himself. We have been adopted by grace as your children, and you remove all fear and give us courage. May we focus our eyes on Christ Jesus in his death and resurrection, and live in righteousness and true holiness through Jesus Christ. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Almighty and everlasting God, the consolation of the sorrowful and the strength of the weak, we ask that you bring this pandemic to an end and be with all in any tribulation or distress, that we may recognize and receive your gracious help, comfort, and peace. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Jesus, you are the great physician of soul and body. We ask that you would heal and strengthen Karen Ladisall, Melody Lechtenberg, and Cammie Farnell, Fred Miller, Joe Newman, Roxanne D.B. Stevenson, and Linda Fillmore Seltzer, and Kermit Seltzer, Marsha Buckmaster, Ellen Lighton, and Steve Babers, Glenn Repke, Leora Newell, Teresa Webster, Candy Darmody, and all in need of healing and strength. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Pray for the family of Rita Baker, who passed away this past week in Houston at 97 years old. We thank you for your mercy to Rita. Now that you've received her to yourself in heaven, comfort the Baker family with the steadfast faith in Jesus, the resurrection and the life. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
We thank you, O Lord, for our early learning center and Sunshine Station this past summer. And now, as we begin early childhood center and kindergarten, bless us by the power of your Holy Spirit. Keep everyone safe and healthy, and may your Holy Spirit, through the word of Christ, guide these families and these children. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
We thank you for our nation, our country, and our freedoms, and for those who serve in the armed forces of our nation. Doug Jupe, Mike Gobble, Charles Gaither, Emily Shelton, Alex Laffin, Ricardo Batanga, Kevin Stevenson, Danny Green, and Courtney Tate. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Father, by your word and sacrament, you have created your church to be a godly communion and a caring family. Be with those who celebrate their anniversaries this week. Shandell and Michael Nash, Brian and Sandra Lundmark, Mike and Carol Wente, Pastor Myron and Dorothy Maltz, and also those who celebrate their birthday and baptism into Christ, Camden Buckmaster, David McDonald and Hannah Collins, Marcia Gillis, Leah Haxton, Hayes Hartman, Pastor Marcus Zill, Charlene German, and Ryan Gaither. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
And bless all our synods, pastors, teachers, and deaconesses as they hold fast the word of God, continuing to preach God's word of truth in an increasingly anti-Christian culture. Equip us with all things needful to love and serve your people in every situation, in the name of Christ Jesus. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
To your hands, O Lord, we commend all for whom we pray, trusting in your mercy through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Page 194, Service of Sacrament.
The Lord be with you.
Should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who on this day overcame death and the grave, and by his glorious resurrection opened to us the way of everlasting life. Therefore, with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying,
the sin of the world.
body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, strengthen and preserve you in the true faith to life everlasting. Part in peace. Amen.
Thank you.
Hymns, page 199. We stand to sing.
Upon you and give you peace.
Christ.